It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hey, today on Fresh Oil, we're going to be talking about the subject of providence. I love providence. It's the timely preparation for future eventualities. It's when God sets us up for something He's going to do in the future. See, God continues to oversee and sustain His universe today. And the Word tells us in Colossians 1:17 that He upholds all things by the word of His power. I'm a firm believer in divine providence. I've seen it in my life so many times. You say, Keith, do you believe that all the bad things that happen to you are sent by God? No, the Bible tells us it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But I'm saying that nothing in my life, either good or bad, can happen until it first filters through God's sovereign hands. And if it gets this far, it's come with a purpose, and God's going to see me through it. You know, just as Satan had to get permission before he ever brought his attack upon Job, you and I are held in the hands of Jesus, and nothing can pull us out. What is providence? It's a little different than the sovereignty of God. Providence is God's timely preparation for future events. I've seen this so many times in my life, and I'm convinced that God many times is setting up things to happen in my life. I meet just the right person at just the right times. And so many times I see the hand of God working in providence. In the story of Naaman, Naaman was the leper, and providence found his way into Naaman's life by a way of a Jewish servant girl. She was probably taken captive at some point in one of Naaman's conquests. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, this is what it said in verse 2 and 3. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he could cure him of his leprosy." When this young girl was taken captive in Aram's battle against Israel, I'm sure it looked very bad at the time, but you know God was setting her up for a future blessing. I'm sure after this she got her freedom or a huge promotion whenever Naaman arrived home. See, so many times, friend, what looks bad in the natural sometimes is a miracle in disguise. God is setting you up for a miracle. You know, about 25 years ago, I met my own version of Naaman, and I experienced God's providence working in my life. My cousin asked me to go with him one day. He wanted me to meet a couple friends of his who were very wealthy millionaires. We went to the first home and met a real neat Christian guy who I'm sure his home cost a lot more than even the construction of my church building. And then we headed to a small town out in the middle of nowhere, and a guy had a multi-million dollar log ranch, which I believe was the highest assessed home in our county. A tall man came out to meet us. His name was Bob. And very soon I realized that this was a setup. Bob ended up asking me to come to work for him just a day a week where I would stop by and help him learn his computer and purchase the latest gadgets for him as he was leaving his company and selling his company, and he wanted me to set up a computer in his home and just come and teach him a computer. Well, I ended up taking the job, and when I first finished the first day, he took out a wad of $100 bills and started counting them out in my hand. I protested and I said, "Wait, you don't owe me this much money." And he said, "My grandfather taught me these were made to give away." Well, this went on for a period of time and we became good friends. And then in September of 2001, I received a phone call from Bob telling me that he had been diagnosed with cancer. And he asked if I could meet him the next day as he was scheduled for a biopsy at the local hospital. When I met him at the hospital, he said to me, "Keith, I don't know anything about God. You have to help me, because it sounds like I'm going to be meeting him real soon." You know, the next day I went to his office at his home, and we sat there and I shared Jesus with him, and I had the privilege of seeing him come to know the Lord as his personal Savior. I'd like to tell you that Bob was supernaturally healed, and everything ended with a great ending, but it didn't happen that way. He ended up dying of cancer. But you know what? I was with him at the hospital when he died. And I remember he asked me, he said, "Let me give you some money to help take care of you. You know, I'm kind of getting my everything in line for the end." And I said, "Bob, I'm rich." He looked at me and he said, "You never told me that." I said, "It's because I have a different definition of rich than you do. You see, I don't owe anybody anything, and I have money left over to help my friends. And in my opinion, that's very rich." I watched Bob at the hospital as he went to meet his Savior, Jesus Christ. I realized that day that Providence had brought us together, and I was able to share the Lord with him in a special way. He ended up giving me a Porsche 930 Turbo, and I said, "Bob, I really don't think it's cool for a preacher to drive around in this Porsche," and I ended up giving it to the church. But it was an amazing experience to see this man's life change. It went on to where I was able to impact the rest of his family. And his son called me to dedicate their baby. I married him and his wife, and then he called me one day to dedicate the baby. And I was able to share with him and his wife and lead them to Jesus as well. Have you ever made a mistake, friend? If you didn't say yes, you probably just made your first one. Mistakes are very common for all of us to make. One of my favorite things about most computer programs is they have the undo button, and you can just undo a mistake that you made. When I accidentally delete something, I can click undo, and it magically appears back on the screen. When I'm recording music, there are times when I mess something up recording this program, and you know what? It keeps about 20 levels of undo every time I'm recording, and I can go back and fix something. As we look at this story of Naaman today, I want to show you five mistakes that Naaman made. First of all, he offered the wrong price. In verse 5, he said, "So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing." You see, at today's rate of exchange, that's a fortune. He was willing to pay any price to be released from his illness. And I'm sure there are a lot of people today who would do the same. They would give up all that they have for healing in their life. They think that by giving large sums of money to a charity or a church, that God will be pleased. But friend, God isn't interested in the size of our bank account. He's interested in the surrender of our will. Peter said, "Our redemption isn't something that silver and gold can buy." He told the man at the gate, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk." We can't purchase salvation, friend, because the price has already been paid by Jesus. The second mistake Naaman made, verse 6 tells us, "The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, 'With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy.'" See, he went to the wrong person. He assumed that if healing was to be found in Israel, that it would come from the greatest. So he went to the king and got a letter of recommendation from him. He delivered it to Naaman when he came. But he failed to listen to the witness given in verse 3. The little maid pointed him to the man of God, to Elisha. The king of Israel knew he couldn't help. He knew he didn't have the power to heal him. And then in verse 7, he went to the wrong place. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" And when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." See, Elisha told the king, "Let him come to me now." That's what he should have done in the first place. Elijah wasn't being boastful, but he was confident in the Lord. He knew that God could meet Naaman's need. And Naaman came, but he stood outside the door. He was so near and yet so far away. He came to Elisha's house, but not to Elisha. See, so many folks come to the house of God, but they don't come to God himself. They come so near to salvation, but they end up still being lost. They're convicted, but not concerned, convinced. They don't surrender. See, verse 10 tells us, Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." See, he wanted the wrong prescription. He wanted Elisha to just wave some magic wand, and then he's cured. And what does the prophet tell to him? He says, "Go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and you'll be made clean." God makes it simple, but man complicates matter. The Bible says, "But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy.'" Sounds like a lot of people today, doesn't it, friend? See, in Acts chapter 16, the jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer was simple: "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Friend, the gospel is simple. Romans 10 and verse 13 tells us, "Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." The fifth thing that Naaman did wrong in that story is he had the wrong attitude. In verse 12, it said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. He had a wrong attitude. He didn't get his way. He allowed pride to get in the way of his obedience, friend. He considered the waters of Syria to be better than the waters of the Jordan. But the deliverance wasn't in the water. That's what he didn't understand. It was in his obedience to the message. Is God telling you to do something today that's hard? Is God telling you to do something today that you just really don't want to do? How many souls will suffer an eternity in a lake of fire because their pride got in their way of their obedience to God? See, I think Naaman thought, I'm too good for this. I'm too good to go dip 7 times in that muddy river of Jordan. I don't want to do that. See, Psalm chapter 34 and verse 18 said, "The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." He's close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. We ought to be more concerned with what God thinks than what other people think, my friend. And then the sixth thing is Naaman, he met God's grace. In verse 13, Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Wow. Wow. God healed this man when he finally humbled himself and became obedient, and God healed him. You see, friend, sometimes our serious mistakes can result in consequences in our life. Naaman offered the wrong price. He went to the wrong person. He even went to the wrong place, and he wanted to use the wrong prescription, and he had a wrong attitude. Don't make those same mistakes today, my friend. Do you know Christ? Have you been cleansed from sin? Are you living a life of obedience to God's word, or are you going to let pride get in the way of what God wants to do for you? I believe it's no accident that you tuned into the program today, my friend. I believe God brought us together with his divine providence and for this particular day to touch you in a special way. I so appreciate you tuning in to Fresh Oil each weekday right here on this station. And I believe that God brought us together, and I know he has a plan for your life, my friend. And I know it's a good plan, plans to prosper you and plans to give you hope and a future. Walk in grace, friend. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he He makes His mercies new every morning.